This is the Rich Eisen Show.
Hey, everybody.
Can't get enough of the Rich Eisen Show? You're in luck. You can find us everywhere. Watch us weekdays on Disney Plus from noon to 3 Eastern. Miss the show? We've got a podcast so you can listen anytime. But here's the best part. Our YouTube channel. Subscribe at youtube.com/Rich Eisen Show and you'll never miss a moment. Now, on with the show.
Joe Burrow doing the gritty.
This is the Rich Eisen Show. Yeah, I'm a
runaway train. Bring on Albert Breer of Sports Illustrated.
Burrow has been throwing for a while. The plan, I think, is to get him 7-on-7 work.
The Rich Eisen Show.
Burrow, touchdown!
Earlier on the show, ESPN analyst Marcus Spears. Coming up, former NFL general manager Mike Mayock. Actor Ali Larter. And now, it's Rich Eisen.
Hour number two of the Rich Eisen Show is on the air. We're on Disney Plus. We're on the ESPN app. We're on ESPN Radio presented by Progressive Insurance. We're on Sirius XM Channel 80. We just said farewell to Marcus Spears, the actress Ali Larter, in support of season two of Landman that premieres on Paramount Plus on Sunday. She's coming in studio in hour number three, and she's an Eagles fan. And you know, who was the first to tell me about what AJ Brown said about how his work life was an S show? It's a man who is 1,000% completely tuned into Janky Rondo's Twitch feed, and Mike Mayock, ladies and gentlemen, joining us here. The man who's all over Let's Janky go. Rondo's Twitch feed, Mike Mayock on the Rich Eisen Show. What's up, Mike? How are you? Good to see you.
I just learned what Twitch was yesterday.
I bet you did. In all seriousness, somebody had to go up to Sirianni in his office and say, hey, coach, you got a minute? And explain to him what A.J. Brown had said on Twitch the night before. Who was that person for you when you were in the front office for the Raiders? Was there somebody who was letting you know what was going on? Because invariably, something had to be said somewhere that you weren't following, nor your daughter, on your behalf to tell you what's going on. Was there somebody who was that person for you?
Kind of was most of the building because it's interesting, Rich. When you're GM, you're kind of on duty 24/7.
Yeah.
You're in the building at 5 a.m. You're already meeting people by 5 a.m. and the outside world is kind of gone. You're in a bubble. And I used to dread when I'd get that knock like, hey, Mike, need to talk to you. And sometime it'd be a young scout who might be more social media conscious than me.
Right.
A lot of times it was Will Kiss, our PR guy. So it was different people. And they're dropping stuff on you like, there was a tweet that went out, and often it would be before I'd have to talk to the media, and I'd have like half the building want to tell me how to handle it. And I'm kind of going like, I've worked with Rich Eisen for years.
Ladies and gentlemen. Yeah. You had to sit through, by the way, every single time I see Grover Stewart make a play for the Colts, I think of the moment that he got drafted with an orangutan revealing it from the Indianapolis Zoo and you being so upset about get the ape out here. And both DJ and, you know, the great Charles Davis was like, it's an orangutan, Mike. That was one of my favorite moments in the history of our, by the way, that was in Philadelphia. The draft was in Philadelphia, I think, when that happened. Mike, I remember all of that.
Rich, I was good with the first two trips to the zoo. It was the third one that I kind of lost it.
Oh my gosh. But in all seriousness, I keep thinking this is just the Eagles' oxygen. That this is the Yankees of the 70s, where you need this sort of, drumbeat to feel comfortable, because they seem to be really comfortable with it, unless this is a massive offensive problem that you, Mike, think is going to come home the roost one day for them.
I think all the conversation in Philly centers on is what going to happen last year, continue to happen, which is the team gets better and better and it culminates in a Super Bowl championship, or what's going to happen the year before with the team that started out 10-1 and had some locker room issues and kind of fell apart and lost to Tampa Bay in the wild card round and really didn't even compete. So when you add in the flavor of East Coast media, which you're very aware of, and Philadelphia, which has its own distinct flavor, it seems like every day is an adventure. I certainly think Nick and the coaching staff would rather not deal with it. I think from what I read last night, Nick started getting a little testy with all the A.J. Brown questions and the questions about his game management at the end of the Packers. And, you know, I don't blame him. That's especially the A.J. thing. That's a hard thing for a head coach to have to deal with.
Well, I mean, give me a little more meat on that, Bones, because at one point he pointed out, you know, hey, the touchdown to Devontae Smith was supposed to be for Brown, but he was covered, and we threw it over him for a score, and we won, you know? I mean, so that was one interesting way that he did handle it, but if he's upset about being asked these questions, it's because there is no there, even though A.J. Brown says, hey, I'm just being honest. My work situation isn't great right now. Mike?
I think the what all of us old people have to realize is that today's generation communicates a different way than we did. And A.J. Brown, everybody I know tells me he gets on the practice field, he works, he competes, he tries to get better, he tries to help the offense. Same thing on game day. When he goes home and he relaxes and he wants to get on Twitch, whatever it's called.
You nailed it.
And talk with his buddies and hang out and relax. He understands it's a public forum, but I don't really think he cares or understands that there's kind of a passive aggressive tone to it with a message getting to the Eagles, even though he can say, hey, I was just, you know, playing games on social media. You can take out of it what you want. The one thing he can't do, in my opinion, is come in and complain about all the attention when he's the one that kind of generates it with the comments he makes. So I think it's a little more complex than some people realize. At the end of the day, if the guys in the locker room are kind of just going, hey, it's just AJ. That's who he is. We're good. Then it's not a problem. It's all media noise. The only time it becomes a problem, in my opinion, and I'm not saying any of this is happening, but the line that can cross is if you get to a certain point where the quarterback doesn't trust the wideout anymore. That's an issue. Now, I don't see it. I don't expect it. I don't think it's getting there. But at this point, Howie Roseman and Nick Sirianni and the Eagles seem very content to say this is a really talented guy, and we're going to feature him every week in our game plan. And then we'll see what happens on Sunday.
Yeah, they keep winning. And then before we move on here to the Sunday night game, I'm wondering what the GM and you and the Roseman aficionado and you thought when Jalen Phillips recovered the fumble in the first half. Were you just chuckling? Like, there it is. There it is. A three for this guy. When the rest of the league could have said, we'll give you a three, and our three is definitely better than Philadelphia's, you know? Unbelievable, right? Boom. Yeah, Makes a play.
There were a bunch of media people in Philly that wanted to talk about all the sexy stuff about going to get Myles Garrett. And I told one of them on the air, like, there's a less than 1% chance that happens, and they didn't want to hear that. And in my opinion, the guy they needed to go after was Jalen Phillips. He's 26 or 7 years old. He is a gifted dude. He's been hurt. So if it comes back to haunt them and he gets hurt tomorrow, I still say it was more than worth the third-round investment. And, Rich, I watched the defensive tape last night from the Packer game, and Jalen Phillips played his tail off both in the run and the pass game, and he will make a difference if he stays healthy.
Yeah, and N'Kobe Dean looks like he's back too. He's all over the place, and that now that's going to be the problem for the Lions offense, coordinated in part with the play caller and Dan Campbell. What did you think of when you heard Dan Campbell took over the play calling? Mike, what did you think of that?
You know, it's a highly personal thing, Rich. When I was in the Raiders building, obviously John Gruden called the plays And one of his high-level assistants was Johnny Morton, the now coordinator in Detroit. And J-Mo is a hell of an offensive mind. I mean, big time. But different play callers have different flavors in what they're looking to do. And I think Dan Campbell just got to the point where he said, you know what, I need to insert my flavor here. And I'm in charge, and if it goes wrong, that's on me, and that's fine. So I think it's his prerogative. And, you know, kind of like the Eagles, they have so much firepower. Like, if I'm Vic Fangio, I'm looking at them and I'm going, okay, in order, how do we slow these guys down?
Oh, Zero is first, right? Gibbs, he's the first
Jahmyr
guy,
Gibbs,
right? You got to shut – that's – I don't mean to interrupt you, but if you're just a – that's the guy, right? That's the guy. That's
the
first one.
I think
the
two things sitting right here for Mayer, Jahmyr Gibbs, number one.
Yeah.
And I'm talking run and pass game.
Heck
yeah. He is a different dude. And you can't let him make big plays in either of those. And then I think point number two is you've got to make Jared Goff uncomfortable.
Mm.
And it's less about sacks and more about hitting him, pressuring him, getting him off his spot, kind of like they did the other night with Jordan Love. Just make him uncomfortable, and he'll throw the ball up a little bit. And I think, though, I look at that offense, and they're really difficult to deal with. Talent-wise, scheme-wise, every other way, you know, they are high octane, man, and that's going to be fun to watch.
Yeah, and maybe you and I could singing from the same book here, Mike, because maybe you could help make Goff uncomfortable when Gibbs is not working. And I think you'll enjoy this because we saw this stat, and let's pop it up here. I think you'll get a kick out of this one, Mike. Take a look at this. Most touchdowns prior to age 24 in the history of the NFL. Look at the people that Gibbs is running down right now. Barry Sanders, Randy Moss, Emmitt Smith, Jim Brown. And Gibbs is going to play the entire rest of the season as a 23-year-old. He doesn't turn 24 until, as I said on Monday's show with this board, there'll be a new league year before there's an actual new year of age for Gibbs. It's crazy what he's doing right now, Mike.
I love watching this kid play ball. I love watching them find creative ways to get him touches. Remember last year, everybody was saying, well, they're going to share the load and they've got a really good back with him. And they do. That other back is strong, tough. He's been in the league and he offers a different look. He gives get, but at the end of the day, he makes that engine go. And then you add in this wide out with a chip on his shoulder, you know, like up to here, Amon-Ra St. Brown.
Mm-hmm.
I remember being at his pro day and he was pissed off at his time and just so competitive. And he's one of those guys who can name every single wide out that got drafted before him. He's still mad. Jameson Williams. Oh my goodness. You know, they're starting to try to reintegrate him in vertically and a good offensive line. So yeah, the thing that puzzles me, Rich,
yes,
and this is what I think frustrates people in Philly, is that I can kind of go player by player in Philadelphia on the offensive skill position side and say they're just as good. There's Saquon Barkley. There's two wide outs that are world-class. People forget Devontae Smith is every bit as good as A.J. Brown. A tight end in Dallas Goedert. You know, a quarterback in Jalen Hurts. Been to two of the last three Super Bowls. Why isn't Philadelphia's offense playing at the same level as Detroit?
Bingo.
And really, that's been the frustration in Philly.
Mike Mayock here on the Rich Eisen Show. In the minutes I have left with you, Mike, let's hit two marquee games, one in each conference. Let's go to the AFC since we've been very NFC heavy with one particular game to start things off here in our conversation. The Chiefs and the Broncos, man. This is a pretty big one. Obviously, the Broncos 8-2. Way better than the Chiefs in the record department, but this is the Chiefs coming off a bye with Andy Reid. How do you break this one down for me, Mike? What do you think?
I find the quarterback situation in Denver intriguing because, you know, Bo Nix is such a good fit there. And Sean gets so much out of his quarterbacks. But I think he's hit a little bit of a spot where a lot of teams now have a lot of tape on him. and they're getting more familiar with what Sean's trying to do and how they're trying to do it. So he's at a point now where he's got to take care of the football and still be functional and still help them win games. But he's got to take care of the football. I think I look at Patrick Mahomes in that group, and I said this before the season started, because they had a young left guard and left tackle who were way more athletic than the guys last year in Kansas City and were going to get better. They were going to get their wide out, Rashee Rice, back after six games from suspension. They were going to get healthier at tailback. A lot of things were going to happen, and they just kind of needed to hang in. And I thought Patrick Mahomes would help them do that. So it's probably a little bit more dramatic than I expected. It's taken a little bit longer, but you know, I always have my money on Patrick Mahomes and Andy Reid, and ultimately, the division for me still goes through them, even though they're behind two other teams.
Yeah, I know. So what does it come down to? The ability to get Mahomes off the spot, although that sometimes doesn't work out for you. I mean, what does it come down to in this one, do you think?
You can't let them run the ball at all. Right. And they've struggled a little bit there, and they've had some guys hurt. But you can't let them have that other avenue to give Mahomes a break and some relief where he doesn't have to be the man every play.
Right.
So you got to take care of the run game, number one. Even though that sounds counterintuitive, you can't give them any air to breathe. I think Kelce, you know, he's not as explosive as he used to be. Still makes plays. More than anything, if you limit their big plays, and I'm talking about both Patrick scrambling, because the thing Patrick does best is scramble with his eyes up and make plays down the field. If you can limit big plays, you can limit their offensive production and make them go 70, 80, 90 yards every drive without a penalty or a turnover. And that's how you beat them.
Yeah. And I guess have your own offensive efficiency problems solved on your own with Denver.
Yeah,
you know,
compounded by the fact that if there was a Hall of Fame for defensive coordinators, Spagnuolo would be in one.
That's right.
Right. So they're not going to beat themselves on defense. They're going to force you to make plays. They're going to put a ton of pressure on that quarterback where he's going to have to make some plays with his legs and his arm. So between Spagnuolo, Reed, and Mahomes, I think that's a pretty special show. And you can't make mistakes. You just can't. You can't beat yourself. You've got to make Kansas City beat you.
And then last for you, Mike, Rams Seahawks, man, this is awesome. I'm really excited for this one, and I'm wondering how you handicap this one between 2-7 and 2 teams that'll be battling it out while the Eagles and Lions get ready. This is going to be a late window game on Sunday, and so this is a huge one. This is big.
Yeah, I love this game. I'm looking forward to really taking a hard look at it. And my biggest curiosity, Rich, is kind of thinking back to Sam Darnold last year, week 17 and the playoffs.
Right.
How he played a little differently than he did the rest of the season. A lot of magnification on this game. A really stout defensive front with Jared Verse and those guys. They're going to put some pressure on him. So how does Sam Darnold react this weekend? I'm totally intrigued by that, and especially in the red zone, where I thought last year, week 17 in the playoffs, the red zone where you have to make decisions instantaneously, you can't hesitate. I thought that's where he really didn't want to make a mistake, and that's one of the things that cost him. So I'm really looking forward to that aspect of the game.
Yeah, because Darnold did get eliminated by a Rams defense that was all over him, and there was a conversation about he was holding onto the ball, taking too many sacks and things of that nature. That said, he hasn't had to play a full game in about 3 weeks because their games have been over by halftime, and part of it is not just last week it was defense. The week before, is he didn't miss a pass in the first half against Washington. Mike.
Yeah, and I think they're two of the best coach teams in the NFL. You know, you can throw San Francisco in there, too, in that division. I mean, in that division, they're so well coached. It's just, I think everything you want in a big, right now, this league is wide open. I can't tell you who I think the best team in football is right now, which
that's right.
is unusual by this time of year.
Yeah, I was saying
that. So this thing's wide open.
Yeah, I was saying that. Like there's a whole host. We just had Marcus Spears on an hour one. He named only 9 teams in his estimation that can win it all. I always think that there's going to be some team that you're not thinking of. We always see one that comes from, you know, a 6 seed, 7 seed, even 8, 9, and make a run like that. I'm with you on that. So I know I've kept you for 20 minutes, but before I let you go, what are we not talking about? What have you been zeroing in on? Maybe stuck in your craw? Could have been anything from the trade deadline or anything, Mike, that we're not, you think we should be focusing on based on from what you've seen?
Yeah, what's intriguing to me are some of those teams from last year that weren't very good that are making some noise this year. You know, the AFC to me has flipped things a little bit with the NFC. But when I look at 2 young AFC teams, I get a little excited thinking about the Colts and about the Patriots, right? I mean, they're coming out of friggin' nowhere. Vrabel's done an amazing job. And let's face it, you got somebody who's looking awful lot like a franchise quarterback there.
Yes.
Right?
Oh, yeah.
And then you've got this Colts thing where, here we go, another rehab story, Daniel Jones. And it remains to be seen. I didn't think he played great last week, even though they snuck one out. I'm rooting for him. I think he's smart and he's tough. And I think Anarumo's done a great job with their defense. I'm really anxious. You talk about the trade deadline. We already talked about Philly, you know, what they did with a 3rd-round pick. Well, you know, Indy gave up the boat to go get Sauce. And, you know, Daniel Jones, by default, is going to be their quarterback going forward with all that first-round capital gone. They got to perform. And it's going to be really fun going forward to watch Indianapolis play.
Yeah, it would be a very New York football thing to see Daniel Jones and Sauce win a Super Bowl together. You know what I mean, Mike? That would be that'd be tough. There'd have to be a Giants-Jets therapy session right there in MetLife sometime in February if that happens. But, you know, stranger things. Thanks for doing this, Mike. You're the best. We'll chat again soon. You be
My
well.
My pleasure, Rich. Thanks,
ladies bro. And gentlemen, Mike Mayock here giving us his 2 considerable cents. 844-204-RICH, number to dial. Love that guy. He's not wrong about the AFC. We talked about that, right? Bills, Ravens, Chiefs. Normally those are the seeds, top seed teams. Right now, it's Colts, Patriots, Broncos going forward. The Patriots going tonight.
Let's go.
844-204-RICH, number to dial. We do some revisiting and some housekeeping from yesterday's show. Some conversations got advanced last night. As many of you know, supporting pediatric cancer research is something I care deeply about. That's why I'm proud to share what Hyundai's doing through Hyundai Hope on Wheels. For over 27 years, with every Hyundai sold, they've helped fund pediatric cancer research. Alongside over 850 dealers, they've raised more than $277 million, helping over 25,000 kids and supporting more than 1,400 research grants at 175 institutions nationwide. This year alone, they've committed another $27 million in honor of the 27th anniversary of the program. And they're proud to have national youth ambassadors like Jackson Trin and Emmy Cole, who bring hope to kids across the country by sharing their stories. Because at Hyundai, hope is our greatest feature, and it comes standard. Visit HyundaiUSA.com and search Hyundai Hope on Wheels to learn more.
As you know, managing maintenance, repair, and operations is never easy. But for the ones who always rise to the challenge, Grainger has your back. From professional-grade products you can count on to fast, dependable delivery, they're there to help you keep things running smoothly. Plus, their technical product specialists are here to help answer your toughest questions. And because Grainger knows safety is always a priority, they're committed to being your partner in protecting both your people and your facilities. Call 1-800-GRAINGER, click Grainger.com, or just stop by.
The Rich Eisen Show Podcast.
ESPN Radio is presented by Progressive Insurance. Progressive is proud to support veterans and small businesses with its annual Keys to Progress vehicle giveaway program, helping our heroes drive their lives forward. Learn more at keystoprogress.com. All right, the association last night, I think, was it Worldwide Wob? I saw his tweet that if the Oklahoma City Thunder's roster was split into two, both would make the playoffs. Did I see Rob Perez with that tweet last night?
I did
or
not
post
see that,
on? I think it hopped on my threads.
Sounds pretty good. I like that.
Yeah, like you, because holy crap! You know, I mean, I know the Lakers feeling good about themselves, and rightfully so. I don't forgot the 121-92 is the final,
but it wasn't that close either.
Please,
yeah.
And so, you know, and Luka was talking about, I'm focusing only on the Lakers. He totally avoided the Nico Harrison firing. Curry dropped in 46, the, New York Knickerbockers losing at home. And, guess who left in crutches and a walking boot?
Yeah.
That would be Jalen Brunson, okay, who had, do you see how his ankle turned? That did not look good. So there's that. And, you know, lots to talk about with the Pistons doing their thing. When we had Brian Windhorst on yesterday, I asked him what I just asked Mike Mayock. Give me the story of the season so far that we're not talking about. Give me the item that we're not, you think we should be talking about. And his answer was plain.
Nikola Jokic right now is putting together a Wilt Chamberlain style statistical season. And it's not 50 points and 25 rebounds. In the modern era, what Jokic is doing in an efficiency standpoint is jaw-dropping. And I'm going to tell you the numbers because I've looked them up. He's shooting 79% on two-pointers, okay? He is averaging 26 points, 13 rebounds, and 11 assists. So he is averaging a triple-double, but he's averaging 13 rebounds and 11 assists. What I am just saying is we are seeing an absolute master at the game of basketball like we've maybe almost never seen before at the peak of his powers. He's 30 years old. I think he's in his 10th or 11th season. What I am watching is the peak.
And then what he went ahead and watched in Intuit Dome last night... He just said it's not 55 points and 25 rebounds. Guess how many points he scored last night? 55 points. Yeah, he was just throwing numbers out.
I laughed and I realized that wasn't funny.
And then he got it right.
Sorry, TJ. Yeah.
So let's all do just it. Like, you know, like, let's all, you know, do the
win. He had 25 in the first quarter.
Yeah.
He was on a 100-point pace.
And then 12 rebounds, 6 assists. So just about his rebounding average and just less than his assist total. But he outscored the starting five of the Clippers by 1. Yeah, collective starting five of the Clippers, 54.
That was a tough 55, watch last night.
Collective starting five, Clipper total, 54. So, and they're 9-2. They're 9-2.
Could Jokic make the playoffs by himself?
I mean, right now...
Jokic and us.
Right now, the West... Every year, it's always the West is the tougher conference. The West is the toughest. You don't want to be in the West. Right now, is this the toughest we've ever seen the West? How does that sound?
Interesting.
Oklahoma, hard to say that, though.
Gents, look at the standings.
Oklahoma City is 12-1.
Oklahoma City is...
insane point differential.
It's 12-1. The Nuggets are now 9-2. The Spurs are 8-3. The Rockets, who have Durant, are 7-3. The Lakers are going to get LeBron back. They're 8-4. And the Timberwolves are always the team that, at the end of the day, could be the one that winds up threatening for the conference at the end of the day. The Warriors haven't really gotten a lot of traction yet, but again, Curry last night dropping 46 is a fresh reminder.
Out of the lineup.
Okay,
yeah.
So I love when our guests give you food for thought, and then that night the food is served up buffet style. Choose what you want. The points, the assists, the rebounds, all of it.
Perfect.
Thank you to Brian Windhorst there. Also from yesterday's program, I had a little bit of fun with the news on NJ.com, New Jersey Advanced Media. Paul Skeens has a Yankees dream. Trust me, teammate says. And Pirates, quote unquote, understand it. That's from the quote from the general manager, Ben Sherrington of the Pittsburgh Pirates, when it was brought to his attention that there was an unnamed teammate of Paul Skeens who says Paul has been talking about wanting to play for the New York Yankees.
Trust me, says unknown
and
faceless
teammate. Ben Sherrington's like, you know, he's basically said, I'm not going to give it any credence, but I do understand it. Meaning that if Paul is in fact thinking about not being a Pirate, it's because their collective vision of winning together isn't being realized. I think I've done justice to the way it was all set up yesterday.
Yeah, but then you took it a little too far.
No, so I didn't.
You started feeling it a little too
far. No, I didn't. I didn't start feeling it. You know, I didn't start feeling it. Just,
you were basically saying it was a wrap.
No, I still feel that way. Even after him winning the National League Cy Young Award, the first player to win a Cy Young Award the year after he's the Rookie of the Year in his league since Dwight Gooden did it.
I was about to say, yeah.
Only three people have ever done it. Fernando did it in the same year, Rookie of the Year, Cy Young.
Right.
And then Doc went Rookie of the Year, Cy Young the following year, and now Skeens.
Skeens, who was then made available to the media afterwards and was asked about, hey, there's a report in New Jersey that a teammate of yours said you want to be a Yankee.
Do you think they said it like that?
Hey,
Paul. got a question for you, buddy.
Again, no, listen, there's always... I'm always fascinated by the way people will find out about how they're being talked about or find out there's something you're going to end up having to talk about. Man. You know what I mean? Like, who is that person in Philadelphia who told Nick Sirianni there's a guy named Yankee Rondo?
It was Big Dom. I mean, come on.
Big Dom.
But
yeah,
somebody had to tell project. Big Dom that, too.
Yeah.
Big Dom may know Yankee Rondo.
I would definitely peg Big Dom as the guy who did, in fact, go off to Nick and go, hey, Nick, you got a minute?
I got some news.
You know what I mean? Like, I'm always fascinated. Like, who is the one back in the day who had to tell Tom Coughlin X, Y, and Z, right? Like, you just.
Yeah.
So somebody had to tell Paul Skeens, or maybe he looked down at his phone and he's just like, what's up? Or
maybe Libby told him.
He was the one who was asked this question. Hey, congratulations on being a Cy Young Award winner after your Rookie of the Year. Dwight Gooden's the last guy to do it. Pretty impressive. But do you want to be a Yankee or not?
I got shown the tweet and didn't really think anything of it, and then got some texts about it. I'm on the Pirates. My goal is to win with the Pirates. I love the city of Pittsburgh. The fans are hungry to have a winner in Pittsburgh, and I want to be a part of the group that did that. The way that fans see us outside of Pittsburgh, Pittsburgh is not supposed to win. There are 29 fan bases that expect us to lose, and I want to be a part of the group. I want to be a part of the 26 guys that change that. So I don't know where that came from. The goal is to win. I don't know the reporter that reported it. I don't know the player who supposedly said that, but the goal is to win, and the goal is to win in Pittsburgh.
Okay. That's a great answer.
I'm going to handle this two ways. I'm going to handle it the professional way first. Because I'm a lead pipe wielding professional, always.
Take him at his word.
A great answer. By the way, I'm reading this book these days.
Sure. Interact.
I'm finding my okay. Certainly, when it comes to Pennsylvania sports, listen, great answer, and I think that's why Pirates fans love this guy. In addition to what he does on the mound and how he goes about his business and how he's a Cy Young Award winner for them. After going, wait for it, a win-loss record of 10-10.
Ewing has 21 wins in 2 years.
And so he knows he deserves better. Everyone there knows he deserves better. And they're worried about at what point will he realize he deserves better than what he's currently getting. And this guy is basically saying, I'm your guy, the savior that you think I can be. I want to be for you. Awesome. Now, let me do it as a Yankee fan.
What were they really thinking?
No. Again, leave the comedy to me, Mike.
I'm sorry, Rich. Whoa. I'm here all week.
Listen.
Try the veal.
As a Yankee fan, I must correct him. Paul, it's not 29 fan bases that think you can't win. It's 30. Ask any Pirate fan. You can't do it there. Come on. Come on. And this is the type of guy I want to have on my team. He wants to be there. He wants to be that guy. That's exactly the type of guy that Gerrit Cole is. Where did he once play and have to leave to find his riches and success?
Houston.
Keep going. Turn the pages back in the book, Chris.
All right. UCLA.
Nope.
Oh.
Yeah, he was in Pittsburgh.
Oh, right. Of course. I forgot.
I've seen this movie before. It turns out great. Turns out it's also a box office hit. You get the great on the back end. Now, you know, winning it all. It's been an issue. But won't be when you're there. In terms of the other things that you can get, I mean, do we need to connect you with Jeets? That's the way you can live your life.
Why would he want that? I don't know. He's fine.
I think he's doing all right.
Yeah.
I
mean, he's got,
I'm talking he's about got Nike aspect. Deals. Oh, I'm no, talking about all
not what
of
you were
that.
Talking we about, Rich.
Oh, no.
1,000% not.
Yeah. I talk about, ask Reggie Jackson. Keep going. Everybody. When you do it in New York City in those pinstripes, that interlocking NY, it's a totally different ball of wax. Even the Red Sox fan knows it. And even the guy over there, you know it. I know it.
When's the last time you guys won again?
I get it. That guy over there knows. Oh, they got an interlocking NY there, too.
This is what I know.
But it ain't the same thing. And Skeens maybe deep down knows it. I love hearing that. That's the type of guy I want on my team, too.
Well, you ain't going to have it.
Okay.
Ain't going to happen.
Okay.
I'm not going to be there.
You know what, Mike? I think I will need your help. I will need your help.
You need my help? Uh-oh.
Because, no, we're going to give you a new drop.
Uh-oh.
From now on, whenever we have this conversation, I want the Seinfeld drop where he says he doesn't want to be a pirate.
I don't want to be a pirate.
That's the drop I want.
Can I just interject?
One guy
quick.
Is talking about a shirt. Another guy's talking about maybe his ability to win. You know, all of it's on national TV.
I don't want to be.
Just don't want to be a pirate.
When we had Jerry here, I think Brockman asked him like some of his favorite lines, and I wanted to say that so bad, but I chickened out. Then the second we went off air, I said it to Jerry, and he started rolling. And I was like, crap, I missed
it. Damn it.
Damn it. I hit him with, like, I don't
want
to be a pirate.
Maybe he did want
pretty funny.
That line to be mentioned in the conversation. He just didn't think about it. But his favorite line, he says, is, you know, but you're a cashier, you know, and he was with a girl who says, I can't be with somebody whose job I don't respect. And he says, but you're a cashier.
He also said, that's a shame. Was
Oh, well, that's a shame. Which is what my response would be to you who wants Paul Skeens and to you who wants Paul Skeens if, in fact, this dream will be realized one day.
I don't
day.
Want your dream
but
to be realized.
But he said the right thing.
Martin Luther Rich.
He said the right thing that he does, in fact, love where he is, loves the fans, they love him. I want to be your savior. It's exactly the thing he should be saying. It's exactly maybe the way he does feel as well. But the Yankee fan in me wants to.
But I don't want to be a pirate.
There you go. You got it ready. There you go. There you go. You got a new drop. I just see the I see the headlines.
It's such a shame too.
I hate this team.
No.
I still do.
It's such a shame. That stadium is gorgeous and the fans really would love a winner.
So good.
Management, they gotta sell that team.
You understand a 1.96 ERA this year?
It's a great place.
It's a shame.
A well deserved unanimous selection for Cy Young.
He won 10 games.
And lost 10 games.
And lost.
I know.
Like, it was like when Jacob DeGrom won.
As a Paul Skeens fantasy owner, I'm very aware of how many games he did not win.
Back to back.
Well, you don't want him to be a Pirate either.
I want wins.
ESPN Radio.
Sun is up.
ESPN Radio is presented by Progressive Insurance. Everybody, we'll be right back.
I don't want to be a Yankee.
844-204-RICH. No, the opposite is true for that
I mean,
one.
I don't.
Do the opposite.
The Rich Eisen Show, the podcast.
Back on the Rich Eisen Show.
You know how many times you've kicked RJ off the group chat? I've read that part.
I've never kicked anybody off a group chat.
Chris.
Me, I mean, I've wanted to.
On as RJ got guillotined from our league, and we haven't seen him all week. So I'm wondering if he's actually thought he's been guillotined from the staff. I should call him and just say, no, it's just the fantasy team.
Just make sure, he's up there.
Hyundai Hope on Wheels. For over 27 years, every Hyundai sold has helped fund life-saving pediatric cancer research. Together with over 850 dealers nationwide, they've raised more than $277 million supporting over 25,000 kids in their fight against cancer. Please go and visit HyundaiUSA.com and search Hyundai Hope on Wheels to learn more. At Hyundai, hope isn't optional. It comes standard. A higher register segment still to come. Again, where we got to go higher register to believe what we have to say.
Higher.
Which is like, no, Chris Brockman said, hey, now about Ali Larder just because he's excited about Landman.
I think that's true. Hold on a second. I think that's true.
Okay.
It's true.
Derek in Missouri, you're here on the Rich Eisen Show. What's up, Derek?
Hey, Rich. So one thing I have to mention to you before I get to my higher register, somebody in that studio yesterday celebrated a special anniversary. And it happened to be one T.J. Jefferson. T.J., 1 year ago yesterday, you just happened to have a special delivery from a friend and a friend of the show of a beautiful bouquet of flowers and balloons of the form of eagle color.
How about that? I appreciate your fandom, Derek. Certainly when you're going to be bringing up one-year anniversaries that we forgot to celebrate.
Hey, Adam, drop this call.
No.
No, I can't.
No.
And I'm not doing it.
You need a reminder.
One-year anniversary.
You need to be reminded of that.
How about that?
Not me.
There was.
Wait, did you know this, TJ?
No, I've tried to block this out of my memory.
Wow. All right, Derek. Good memory.
This was horrible.
All right.
Thank you.
All right. Well, you got a higher register to help set the table for hour three for us?
I do, sir. So, as you all know, I mean, I don't have to tell you guys, but Sunday's a big game, Chiefs-Broncos. And could probably maybe set the table for who goes forward. And I would say this, Rich, if the Broncos top the Chiefs on Sunday, I'd say the Chiefs are probably out of the contention of running for the AFC West.
Okay. Thank you very much. Derek in Missouri,
higher register,
which means even if the Broncos win, to go to 9-2 and the Chiefs fall to 5-5, even with that 3.5 game lead, that's really 4 because they'd have a tiebreak over him. Still doesn't think the Chiefs are out of it.
Still approaching the rear view.
Still, but which is the respect the Chiefs, I believe, deserve.
As long as 1-5 is on the field, they got a chance.
Yeah. I'm with you on that.
Well, you and I both have, you know, our reputations as prognosticators right behind this.
What do you mean?
We both picked the Chiefs to win the Super Bowl.
There's that. But, I mean, some of us got our – we had a really good higher register segment last week. Even Del Tufo was surprised at how quality it was.
I told you.
He went high register about how our high register segment went.
We've been kind of nailing it.
It's pretty good.
Good. Yeah, we did. And then Landman returns.
See?
What does it matter with
these
people?
You got to clear this room, I think.
I know that. Guys,
can't let these animals in here.
Hey, we should find out if she's actually left the studio now. Okay, and then tomorrow's show, the actor Tracy Letts will be here in hour number 3. He has been in a ton of things. Big Short, Ford versus Ferrari, and he's in this new Netflix movie that House of Dynamite, that is Nightmare Fuel is the only nuclear nightmare fuel.
There you go.
Spoiler alert.
Hold on a second.
I don't know. I mean, we'll keep it. Put a pin in that. No, that's a bad one, too.
No, can't. No.
Boom! You know, he also played Jack McKinney in Winning Time.
That's right.
Yeah.
So we'll be talking about some of the Winning Time with
him. He's married to Carrie Coon.
That's correct. That's correct. So we're White Lotus adjacent tomorrow.
Double hey now.
Stop it.
God, see?
All right.
See, this is
hour number three. Allie Larder will be here when we return.
The Rich Eisen Show Podcast.